Ephesians chapter 6. We started Ephesians 6 back in November 2020. This will be our last in this study through epistle to the church of Ephesus. But it won't be the last time we'll be back in Ephesians. I hope we come here often. Paul wrote this whole letter. All the wonderful things directed by God the Spirit. He plainly gave us the gospel in this letter. He tells these brethren there at Ephesus and us how to walk in this world. What this means. When you go to your jobs, or you go to the grocery store, or you pump gas, that these things will be on your mind. People don't know believers pump gas. And sometimes you think, well, look at that. Think how many liquid molecules are going through this hose. My Lord made this hose. He made that gas, put it under the ground. Somebody went and mined it out, gave them the knowledge to do it. Next thing you know, it's clicked off, and you're sitting there thinking about the Lord. That's called walking with the Lord. Ain't what people think, is it? It ain't good holy living and high talking. Paul showed us what that looks like. Husbands and wives. Here's how you get along. Here's why. Well, we have the perfect marriage in this world. No, you don't. You got a perfect marriage in your heavenly kingdom. Christ your husband. Paul gave us these things. Then there at the end, we looked at Tychicus. Laborer with Paul and Onesimus. And worked together and got trained up by Paul. Loved Paul. Labored with Paul. Gave his life over lock, stock, and barrel to go to Ephesus and do whatever they needed to be used up, to be consumed for their sakes. He brought this letter to them. But Paul ends it with two short verses to close this letter. He petitions the Lord's throne of grace one more time for these brethren. Here in chapter 6, verse 23. We read over these so fast, don't we? This is just closing. Something you say at the end of a letter. Sincerely yours, comma, Kevin Thacker. Just something you stick down at the bottom, isn't it? That's it. Something much more than that. Peace be to the brethren and love with faith from God the Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. Grace be with all them that love our Lord Jesus in sincerity. Amen. Top of my message is closing prayer for you. This is my prayer for you when I'm pumping gas and I think about you. When I walk up down the driveway to go check the mail and I think about you. I wake up at 4:32 this morning and I think about you. I go sleep last night at 1 something and I think about you. It's my prayer for each person in here, each child in here, my children, your children, your grandchildren. Me, my wife, this is my prayer for you. This is Paul's prayer for those brethren at Ephesus. This is our prayer. It says there, peace. Peace be to the brethren. This ain't peace of everybody underneath the sun, is it? We looked at that brethren last week. This is a prefix, brother, sister, brethren, bought by God. The blood of His Son is what purchased that first name, that prefix, brother, sister. His blood and who He is what purchased your surname, the Lord our righteousness, whereby she shall be called the Lord our righteousness. Think to everybody underneath the sun. This is the brethren. The brethren. Children of God. He says peace. Believers have peace. Do you know that? We don't have it all the time, but we have peace. And I want you to have peace. I want you to have peace. Peace runs throughout. From the moment we first believe, when the Lord comes, when He sends us a preacher, God, the Holy Spirit does a work in your heart, you have peace right then. Sometimes it kind of, well, you don't remember being born, do you? In this world. Sometimes it's a slow thing. But you have peace. You first find out you're at enmity with God, and right then you find out there's a peace. We have it when we first believe, and we have it till we close our eyes in death. dying grace. We've been given peace to leave this world, to enter into eternal peace, eternal rest. We don't feel like we have much peace, nor do we have it often. It's with us always. He said, lo, I'm with you always. We don't feel like we have it. Sure don't feel like we deserve it, do we? But I pray that you and I pray that I, every one of us in here, have more peace. We have more peace. Where did all this peace begin? For a believer. For brethren. Not for everybody. That was Christ bought. For brethren. Where did all this begin? Peace began with the Father. Turn back to Ezekiel 37. The very one we offended. A man will truly enter into peace when he realizes he didn't offend something, he offended someone. I didn't offend the law, I offended the God that wrote the law. You ain't got no peace till you know Him. Ezekiel 37. This Lord we offended, now there's no condemnation between us and Him. There's peace with the one we were at war with. You and I, we were enemies against God. We sinned against Him and Him alone. And you know how this peace come about? He came to us. We could come to Him. Brother Bob read that this morning. He came to us while we were still in rebellion against Him. While we were still heathens. And the Spirit moved upon us. It pleased the Lord to move the Spirit upon His people. Look here in Ezekiel 37, verse 21. And say unto them, thus saith the Lord God, behold, I will take the children of Israel from among the heathen, whether they be gone, and will gather them on every side, and bring them into their own land. And I will make them one nation in the land upon the mountains of Israel, and one king shall be king to them all. And they shall be no more two nations, neither shall they be divided into two kingdoms any more at all. Neither shall they defile themselves any more with their idols. Them idols will get put away. God says so. Nor with their detestable things, nor with any of their transgressions, but I will save them out of all their dwelling places. Well, if he's got a child on some shipwrecked island somewhere, or some desert island, he'll shipwreck Paul to go preach to him, won't he? Or for some child of his, he's going to go get them. We'll see us this evening, Lord willing, if he sustains us till then. They follow him. They join with his people and they follow him. He'll go get them. He said, but I will save them out of their dwelling places wherein they have sinned and will cleanse them. So shall they be my people and I will be their God. The Lord's going to come to his people and he's going to save them to the uttermost. That's not just something that's written in black and white letters on a piece of page, is it? Something comes with that. Something happens on this earth. It's sitting a parachute to escape hell. Well, I don't have to go to hell now. He gives you something to walk in this world. Look here in verse 26. Ezekiel 37:26. Moreover, I will make a covenant of peace with them. People say, I made my peace with God. No, you didn't. You might have made your peace with a God. You didn't make no peace with God. God's the one that makes peace. We're the offended party, or offending party. We offended Him. He's the one that makes peace. It says, moreover, I will make a covenant of peace with them. It shall be an everlasting covenant with them. And I will place them, put them right where I want them. I'm going to multiply them, the preaching of the gospel, and will set my sanctuary in the midst of them forevermore. Christ's going to dwell in His people. My tabernacle also shall be with them. Yea, I will be their God, and they shall be my people. You want peace? Where are you going to find it? The Lord of a peace. Lord of our peace. He has to come to His people. It's the only place where peace can be found. It begins with Him. It starts with the Lord we offended, and it comes to our hearts. We pray for peace. Peace be to you. Well, that ain't something thrown around now, is it? That ain't cheap. That ain't dime store words we just toss. That's God's peace. It starts with Him and it comes to our consciences. It comes to the heart of a believer. When you truly know, you know what? I've offended God. I don't care what's going on next to me. I don't care how many brothers and sisters I have in this flesh. I don't care how many dope dealers are down the street. I don't care. All of a sudden, God comes to somebody, convicts them of sin. You're going to have a problem. You can be shook up worse than a can of soda. He's going to do a work in His people, and you're going to realize I've offended Him. And that's all of a sudden, this is a one-on-one interaction, isn't it? This ain't a group effort. My grandma was so nice. You don't care about grandma. You want a presence of God. Holy Spirit's come to you. And He speaks. He said, "Peace I leave with you. My peace I give unto you. Not as the world giveth, give I unto you." This ain't what we think. This ain't what we dream up. We're just going to be sitting cross-legged saying kumbaya and just hunky-dory and smiling all the time. You're going to have some low spots. And that's when you need it, isn't it? Oh, He's going to give you peace in that trough of the wave. Down to the lowest part of that miry pit of trial you're going to walk through. That's when He's going to come. He'll say, "Fear not, it's I. Don't be afraid." That's speaking peace into somebody's heart. "Let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid." From Romans chapter 5. This peace is in the heart of a believer. And this is the peace I pray that I have and I pray that you have. We understand what we are, who we've offended, who has to originate the peace. He speaks peace in our hearts. Look here in Romans 5 verse 8. "But God commendeth His love towards us." He sent His only begotten Son because He loved us. "He commendeth His love towards us in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Much more then, being now justified by His blood, we shall be saved from wrath through Him. For if, when we were enemies, we were reconciled to God by the death of His Son, much more, being reconciled, shall we be saved by His life." That's the bee of sin, the double cure. Tell you, go cry into Jerusalem. Go cry to Israel. Tell her warfare is accomplished. She's received double for all her sins. I racked up a sin debt that can't be numbered. At war with God. And He come to me and He said, "Peace. I'm going to make an everlasting covenant of peace through my Son. I put you in Him before time was. You're going to have peace." But it's double. It's double. It's not just a clean slate. You're not hitting a reset button. You're not, it's like a computer. Turn it off, turn it back on, see if it works. This ain't it. Double. There's a holy nature imparted. Put in. And then the Lord looks at it and He says, "There it is. My Son's inside of that. Perfect. Good and faithful servant." He counts it because that's where it sits. Already inside of His people. But that's peace, isn't it? We fly and flounder and flop like a fish out of water in this world. Oh, what am I going to do? So we'd pray a whole lot better if we was handcuffed face down on the ground, wouldn't we? If we was in a serious trial, we speak to the Lord plainly and talk plainly to Him. Tell Him what our heart trouble is. And we get down to brass tacks too. "Lord, I got a heart problem. Forgive me. Be merciful to me, a sinner." And He gives the peace. Is there anything that God requires other than Christ to be in His presence? Is He able? Is He able to save His people? Do I need to understand how He does it? I don't have to have a working knowledge to go in and diagnose this stuff, do I? Is He able? Am I in need? We have peace with God the Father. He gives us that peace in our hearts. And then we have peace with brethren. We have peace with brethren. Psalm 122 says, "Pray for the peace of Jerusalem. They shall prosper that love thee." Hey, pray for your brethren. It'll do good for you and it'll do good for them. It'll be prosperous. "Peace be within thy walls and prosperity within thy palaces. For my brethren and companions' sake, I will now say, peace be within thee." For my companions, my brethren, I pray you have peace in you. I want God to save His people. Southern California, everyone that's heard the general call, the truth of Christ, I pray for them. Lord, give them peace. Give them Christ in their hearts. Do a work in them. It's Your will You'll call out. I know it. I know he'll do it. You talk about getting your prayers fulfilled. Lord, thy will be done. You're going to get your prayers answered. Call out your people. Because of the house of the Lord our God, I will seek thy good. Because of his glory, I'm mine. Oh, look how many people Kevin preaches to down here. That ain't it. I want sinners to know God. I want his sheep to be called out and him to work in them and him to bring them into the fold. And then I got another brother or sister walking this earth that I can cry with and rejoice with and hug. And then we can go home. That's a blessing, isn't it? That's peaceful. Paul told us that in Ephesians 4, endeavoring to keep the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. How in the world are two people just diametrically opposed to one another from different backgrounds, different politics, different everything, upbringing, rich, poor, educated, uneducated. You got different opinions on everything. If you have three people something, you'll get four opinions, won't you? How could they get along? There'll be times they rub, ain't they? In peace. That unity must take place in the peace that God sends. If the Lord's come and saved you, Christ died for you, I ain't got no problems with you. He don't. If we remember our first love, keep looking to Him, now all of a sudden makes it go a lot smoother, don't it? Peace with God because of Christ, because of His workmanship in us. Peace that He gives in our hearts. Now peace with brethren, those that love Him, because we finally have true brethren. Finally understand what that word means and we experience that together. Then we have peace with all men, don't we? That's some growth there. You see the baby steps. God does a work in. God did a work for you. And then He notified you. Does a work in you. Now, wait a second. I got brethren. I want to get to know you folks. Let's go have dinner together. And then you'll have peace with all men. You're going to live peaceably with all men. They may be our future brethren. Do you know that? Well, I just want that person down there at the grocery store. I want to give them a business. Well, if that's one of God's sheep. I used to be somebody that people wanted to give the business to. They wanted to yell at me all day. I had it coming. Got whipped when I was a kid. Probably should have got whipped a whole bunch more, huh? Jeremiah 29 says, and seek the peace of the city. Well, who knows in that city? Everybody in the city. And seek the peace of the city, whether I have caused you to be carried away captives. If they arrest you, take you down to that city across the border. Something horrible. Pray for that whole city. And pray unto the Lord for it. For the peace thereof shall ye have peace. And the peace that the Lord gives you for praying to Him, you're going to have peace. And then the Lord will bless it as He sees fit to those brethren in that city. Pray for your enemies. Isn't that what we've been told? Those that despitefully use you. They are out to get you. Premeditated out to get you. Pray for them. Seek peace in their hearts. Lord, show them your peace. Show them peace in Christ. It's my heart and desire for each of you, for me, and for those that the Lord's yet to call. He has sheep here that He ain't called out yet. That the peace that only God can give is shed abroad in their hearts. He makes that through Christ. That's how He does it. And that they're given that peace with Him in themselves. They're given peace with their brethren. True brothers and sisters of the Lord, children of God. And they're given that peace to walk out that door and walk around this town. Wouldn't that be something? What will accomplish that peace? What's going to do it? Look there back in our text. What's going to be the working shoes that gets us through that? Ephesians 6, verse 23. Peace be to the brethren, and love with faith. I started to break them up. But it says with, don't it? It says love with faith. They can't be separated if they're given of God. If the Lord gives love, His love shed abroad in someone's heart. If the Lord gives someone saving faith, they're going to go hand in hand. It can't be parted. It's one and the same. Believers have love and they have faith. And here Paul's praying that those brethren in Ephesus, that they grow, that they increase in love with their faith. That those two things grow together. This combination, it gains some things. Did you know that? When you have love and faith, get something out of that. It produces some things. Look back in Galatians chapter 5. What does it produce? What does love and faith working together produce? It gives more peace. It gives more love. It gives more faith. It's called growing in grace, isn't it? Look here in Galatians 5, verse 6. For in Jesus Christ, neither circumcision availeth anything, nor uncircumcision. And Christ is our salvation. He's our righteousness. He's our wisdom. There's sanctification in it. So you can take that and insert. In sanctification, neither circumcision availeth anything nor uncircumcision. Works don't help you. What about in wisdom? I'm going to get smarter. Works don't help you. But redemption, works don't help you. What profits us in that? But faith which worketh by love. Saving faith is worked by love. The love of God in you. As the love of God increases in us, our believing Christ, resting in Him, trusting Him, that increases. And as we believe more on Christ, we see the love of God more and we feel it more. Those go hand in hand, don't they? Our Lord who saved us and for our brethren that He works in. That increases. Longer we go without being reminded of it. Isn't that true? Take a month or two off. Don't pick up the scriptures. Don't listen to a message. Don't think on God. Try not to. What happens? They both decrease. Doubt moves in. Fear. Oh, what's going on? Did you see the news? What are they doing? Decreases, don't it? That gets worse. Unbelief shows up. Devouring starts showing up. I don't think y'all do it that way. You think the Lord can sort it? I think He can fix it. When God gives faith in Christ, God gives a love for Christ, and He gives a love for Christ's sheep, for His people. He said in 1 John 5, whosoever believeth that Jesus is the Christ is born of God. And everyone that loveth Him that begat, loveth Him also that is begotten of Him. If you love the Lord, if He's made you His child, gave you that new birth in the heart, you're going to love His people. You're going to love your brethren. Those that He died for. So 1 John 4, and this commandment have we from Him, that he who loveth God also loveth his brother. The Lord said to. Turn over to 2 Thessalonians 1. Second Thessalonians 1. We are bound to thank God always for you, brethren, as it is meet, because that your faith groweth exceedingly, and the charity, the love, your faith's growing, and the love of every one of you all toward each other aboundeth. The more God helps our unbelief, the more He grows us in faith, the more He grows us in love, we abound towards one another in what? Love and faith. The love of God and the faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. What better thing could we give someone? What better thing could we show to someone? To the brethren that we love? It's love and faith. Where's peace at? I ain't got no peace, Kevin. I can tell you where peace is. I don't have no peace for you. I can't do nothing. I can change a flat tire or something, but change your oil. I can't do nothing for you. But I can tell you where peace is found. Let's go look at this again. We'll forget. Give it till this evening. We won't know where we're at. We'll forget it. I'll forget it. We need to be reminded often. We saw that in Philemon. Paul wrote to Philemon. He said, I thank my God, making mention of thee always in my prayers, hearing of the love and faith which thou hast towards the Lord Jesus and towards all saints. Love and faith towards the Lord Jesus and towards all saints. That the communication of thy faith may become effectual by the knowledge of every good thing which is in you in Christ Jesus. That knowledge of faith, that communication, that knowledge of love. When we communicate faith and we communicate love, we don't just say it. I can get a tape recorder to do that. download something off the internet, they could say it. We give it. We communicate. To communicate means to give. We give a message with our mouths. We give a message with the writing of the pen. But we come and hand over love. We hand over faith. Pass it back and forth. Talk about it. We communicate these things. Speak of these things. Show of these things. And that's not just giving of money and time and things like that. That's giving of thoughts, prayers, a listening ear, everything we can give. That's growing in love and growing in faith. Isn't it? See how love with faith, those go together. It says, peace be to you, brethren, and love with faith. There's so many that seem to believe. And they seem to have faith because they got their doctrine in a row. All their ducks in a row. But there ain't no love there. It's the logic of it, the deductive reasoning. If I read these scriptures, and this is what this fits, this theological doctrines you have, this fits the scriptures. This makes sense. That's not love. That's not saving faith the Lord gives somebody. He wrote to him in Ephesians, or to the church of Ephesus, 50 years after Paul wrote this, and he said, I have something against you. You got your doctrine down pat, but you've left your first love. Lest your first love. God's got to give love for his gospel, for his son, and he has to shed that love in us. That's what we looked at last week in Psalm 40. Oh Lord, let thy loving kindness, it's his, and thy truth, thy Christ, my faith, my truth, my love, my hope, it's all in him, continually preserve me. Where do we get all this? Where do we get peace? Where do we get love? Where do we get faith? Love with faith. The more I look into these things, the more I see I ain't got no hand in this. I just, how unequipped I am. Where do we get it? Look back in our text, Ephesians 6. It says, peace be to the brethren and love with faith from. This ain't your love. This ain't your peace. And this ain't your faith. The one that's from God the Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. It's His. May it be to you. What a prayer, isn't it? The best question that we can always ask ourselves, the best question that we can always ask ourselves is, who maketh thee to differ from another? What hast thou that thou didst not receive? I should ask myself that 200 times a day. I have life. I'm walking this earth right now physically. Who made me different? I used to be 6'5". Now I'm 6'4". I'm 242 pounds. I can reach stuff on a top shelf. Who made me to differ? Lord did. I have faith. He's given me eternal life. Does that put me above somebody? Does that make me different than somebody else? Another sinner saved by grace? He's made me to differ. I have a righteousness. Amen. I have a hope, eternal hope, expectation. But I ain't looking to myself. Lord's coming back. What a day that'll be. Won't be something fast the day we start hearing trumpets. I don't know what it's going to look like, but we'll know it when it comes. But wouldn't that be something? To be with the Lord, shed this body of death, get out of this old world, go be with Him, be made like Him. We have acceptance with God, and all that come from God. That's who made it to differ. He said, now, if thou didst receive it, He's the one that gave it. He gave the peace, He gave love, He gave the faith, He gave the knowledge, the understanding, He gave you everything, life. Why dost thou glory as if thou hast not received it? I read these things, I thought, boy, I got peace. You see me? I got faith, I got love. I love my brethren. I need to be around my brethren. I like them, and I love them. You can love somebody and not like them. I like them and I love them, and I need to be with them. Now I think like I did something. I didn't do nothing. Did the Lord gave me every bit of that? Why am I boasting about that? You see how good I loved him? No, see how good Christ loved him? He just happened to use me. I'm just a hammer. I'm just a screwdriver. Something he uses. I pray for you that the Lord gives us peace. And that he gives us love. His love. And that he gives us his faith. And that'll work together, won't it? It'll be with. James said, faith without works is dead. He said, you want me to show you I'll show you my faith with my works, right? What's the works? The works of righteousness, believing on Christ and loving the brethren. I'm going to be long-suffering. Wouldn't that be something? What do we call that? The Lord giving us all these things. The Lord making us to differ. This peculiar people. Brethren. Blood-bought children. What's the workings of that? Look here at verse 24. Grace. What do y'all preach down there? Well, I don't want to give you two words. Sovereign grace. Free grace. Preach the love of God saving sinners. So what do you, somebody asked, what do you preach? I said, I don't know. You got about 4 hours? You got some time on your hands? I'll tell you about it. It ain't going to be quick. Grace be with all them that love our Lord Jesus Christ in sincerity. When the Lord gives this gift of faith to a person, this love, this peace with God and man, what is the proof that's given with it? Sincerity. Sincerity. I hope we can look at that this evening. Can a man or woman have assurance that our peace is true peace and not just something we've conjured up? Can somebody walk in this earth, can we be sure that this is the love of the Father, not what we think is love? That love given is with faith, true saving faith, not something we conjured up. The faith of Christ in us. Can we know that? Do you not have that? Do we know we have it? Have we examined ourselves and we know it? The proof's here in verse 24. Love Christ in sincerity. The word insincerity means without corruption. Do I love Christ without corruption? You've got a new man, he does. Do you love without corruption? Every time I think of corruption, I think about mobsters and politicians. And I thought, is there a difference? About the same thing, isn't it? But there's a quid pro quo in corruption, right? This for that. Somebody's going to get some money out of it. Somebody's going to get a position, power, pride, or they have access and getting something out of it. Something's traded. That's not free, is it? It's not free. If Lord Jesus Christ does something in and for a person, it's not conditional on us doing something. There's nothing left in our hand. There'll be a response. But there's nothing left in our hand to do. If it were, it would not be free grace. It would not be peace. A peace that I can purchase is not a sustained peace. If I get a peace treaty, if man wrote it, man can unwrite it, can't it? That's to be of him. Faith wouldn't be a gift then, would it? If we had to do something, it would be a reward. It'd be a payment. If man had to do something, keep his faith or get his faith. What nonsense. That ain't a free gift. But the God that changes not, He's loved His people with an everlasting love. And those that He loves will have a sincere love of Christ. The only thing I want out of my love for Christ is Him. And what more could you want? What more could you ask? I don't want a mansion in the sky. I don't want gold streets. I don't want other things. I want Him. I want a person. When you love Christ in sincerity, and you love His people, because that love was accomplished with faith that He gave, there's peace then. That's when we have peace. Paul says, grace be with all them that love our Lord Jesus Christ in sincerity. There's two kinds of people in this world. Those that love the Lord Jesus in sincerity, and those that are at enmity with Him. Those that are at war with Him. There ain't no fence straddlers. Indifference is being at war. You either love Him or you don't. It's one or the other. Those that are at enmity against God and reject His gospel, Paul said, if any man love not the Lord Jesus Christ, let him be anathema maranatha. Let him be cursed forever. That's what old John and James did, them sons of thunder. And people didn't receive Christ. When you know Christ, somebody don't receive Him, there'll be a little bit of tinge going on there. You'd be like Peter, you want to lop an ear off. They said, Lord, can we call down from fire from heaven right now? They come on like a thunderstorm, didn't they? That's probably why he called them that. It spun up pretty fast. But then there's those that love in sincerity. And you know what the product of that is? Peace, love with faith, rest, isn't it? Sincerity. Grace. Oh, boy, what a sweet word. Peace, what a sweet word. But we can't end this without looking at the last word there. Amen. Amen. Do you know what amen means? Christ wrote to the church at Laodicea, and he said, unto the angel of the church of the Laodiceans, write, these things saith thee, Amen. Capital A. The faithful and the true witness, the beginning of the creation of God. Christ's name is Amen. This word means it's a faithful and true witness. Everything that's said here is faithful and true. And Christ is indeed that true and faithful witness, isn't he? That's his name. Amen. A faithful and true witness. We in this book with a faithful and true witness to this word, to his word. That's so fitting, isn't it? Paul was moved to write this whole thing to us. And he says, Amen. I hope it's a blessing to you. Let's pray.